We go there just to remind what those masters. Now it does not like to need the outer enjoyments, but when it gets a little taste of that higher bliss, then if he once goes inside, he would not like to come out. So he says, how to that bread of life? How to have that love, water of life? This man body, this is standing in the way. So Kabir says, I went out to have a pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way, God met me and rebuked me. Where are you going? I am in you. Why are you wandering outside, finding me outside? So God is within us, all masters say like that. Being in the true temple of God and going to the models made to represent the true temple of God, is it wise enough? He is inside you. He is a very controlling power within you, which controls in the body, you in the body. And you run away out of the man body to find him. How can you? So first thing is to rise above body consciousness. Yogi took hundreds of years to rise above body consciousness. Unless you rise above body consciousness or life of senses, you cannot have that elixir of light, nam, or elixir, water of life, or the nectar of life, or the bread of life. So, to have that thing, first step is to rise above body consciousness. You know, people spend years and years to come out of the mind body. Then masters, what do they do? He makes it some, maybe 1, 2, 10, 100,000 atman, and little boost, little lyrical glance to raise their, withdraw their attention from outside and raise up to the body and open the inner eye and see light to start with. So have contact with the light, sound current. So this is cost him nothing, only few minutes, half an hour or so. So with the grace of some competent master, as I explained to you who they are, if we have the good fortune to meet with such a master, all these penances of years are eliminated. You have to start with some capital all at once, but to dwell with further, you have to work for it. In the old days, people used to sit at the feet of the master for years. When their vessels were considered fit, clean, then they gave them some capital start with some experience, higher content, which was already within them. Nowadays, who can sit at the feet of the master? The times have changed. People have no time. So this concession is from God that some capital is given from the very first day, maybe more or less, according to each man's background, and he has to maintain them, dwell more and more by self-introspection, by leaving out all failures of violence, of truthfulness, of chastity. God resides in every heart. We are all brothers and sisters in God. We are all children of God. We have hatred for them. These things can weed out all imperfections or failures on these head and weed out. And the very content is given very first day to develop, put in regular time from day to day. And this will help you. the very thing that you got the very first day, that is there from day to day, unless you reach the ultimate goal to be absorbed into the actual God. Then, as I explained to you yesterday, what does the word master mean? Is word made flesh. Word made flesh only can give you a contact with the world. Whoever said no son of man can do it, but the son of man who is word made flesh, he can give you contact with the world which is always already residing in every man's heart. So this is the first step, which is difficult, which gives you very first a little boost. You testify yourself that there is light. The master said, don't believe in the words of the master unless you see for your own self what is what. So how do the master do that? It's a very poetical way of saying, you see, Kulinam is put in the eyes. So master, what does he do? Those who come to him, who have grasped the theory, he made them, give them a still posture, and withdraw their attention, which is already identified with the outside world, withdraw from there, and withdraw from the body below, take it to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes, and open the inner eye, he sees light. This is what he does. Poetically, we are taking, he puts the collision of knowledge to consciousness, to awareness of God, into the eyes, you see, and the result is they see light. So unless we don't rise above the life of senses, we cannot know ourselves, and also we cannot open the inner eye with which he is seeing. So first thing is, unless this nam or world power is contacted, we cannot reach to the worldless state or the nameless state. That is direct way back to God. There are so many yogas. But the Hatha Yoga is there to keep your body fit. And the purpose is there, you must be selfless servers. You should do selfless service. You may utter with your mouth that you are selflessly working, but you are working for some purpose that is before you. There is yoga of the devotion, bhakti yoga. There you have to make a hypothesis. Then you have to rise above, break through the hypothesis and further come to direct vision of God. Ramakrishna Paramahansa was a devotee of bhakti yoga. He worshipped God as mother, and he saw mother all around. He went to his guru and told him, I cannot rise into the oneness of God. Then he just stuck him here, said, give a boost and see, all the hypothesis is gone, and he saw rise into unity. There is Jnana Yoga, that is drawing inferences, having dips into the beyond. That's the work of very intellectual giants. Everybody is not fit for that. Even that, they have only some dips into the beyond, cannot remain there. So in this way, what the master prescribed, it is drawing the attention from outside, raising up and giving contact with the God into expression power, which is expressed in two ways, light and sound. And when you are contacted with that, that will lead you where? From where it emanates. Wordless or nameless God, absolute God, wanted to be many. There were vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. This is what you must do. And they say, so long as you do not withdraw from all outside, you may spend hundreds of years in outer pursuit, you won't have it. because it's the attention which, when we draw from outside, concentrate is in our whole self, only then that eye will open. As I submitted just now, all outward practices which relate to the outgoing faculties, body or intellect or mind, they are good actions. You become doer. As a doer, you must reap what you sow. Your coming and going not ending. But when you see that power, that leads you where? To the direct way back to Absolute Lord. This is called Sut Yoga. What you must give in the children of 5, 7, 9 years old, when they are given sitting, they are not intellectually developed. Even they, without their attention out and see light, 5, 7 years old. In the old days, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born. And they were given a Gachi mantra. Gachi mantra word means rising above body consciousness, just see the rays of sun coming from above and rise into the sun. That's a prayer, oh God, lead us there. They were given demonstration of light and sun. That custom still prevails, but Gayatri Mantra has given, but demonstration of light is not given. This is basic teachings of all religions. So my point is, for submission is, unless we come in contact with the world power, which is the cause of all creation, reverberating all creation, we cannot reach the world state. That's the direct way back to God. You say the ray of the sun and go along with it, that will take you where? To the sun from where it emanated. So for that reason, they say, if you spend all your life in pursuit of God in the outward ways, they are good actions, they don't deny, but you will have to go round and round and round and round. Never reach back to the true home of your father. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. It is just like man is caught in conscription, and he has to work from morn till night, and he gets no wages. So too much labor, too much penances, too much time consuming, practice you are doing, but the purpose for which you do, that is not attained. And that is the purpose to have beatific vision of God. So long as why we can't see it, because we are under the control of mind. Mind is in control of all those faculties, and that is taken by the outer enjoyment. We are identified with the body and outside world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Unless we rise above that, and how can we rise above that? By sitting at the feet of a master. It gives you the very first and this very demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. All men who say it accurately, they testify their light, that they have seen the light of God. And that's the capital given to them at the very outstart. And this is what I submitted, the basic teachings of all religions, of all masters. I have written one book, Naam or Word, giving quotation from all scriptures of the Eastern world. Outer things as I teach, these are exotic sides of the religion. True religion means remits back, needed to mind. So long as we do not sit at the feet of a master, he gives us a boost, something to start with, giving demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. Our labors are not fruitful. So what it does, the guru or the master, you see, tells you how to analyze yourself from the body, as also by the outgoing faculties, as also for a while from mind and intellect. Raise you up above the body, consciousness. So there, you see, you have got reference in the book. Straight is the way, narrow. Straight is the gate, narrow the way, you see. Most people dared go there but did not find the way. This is also for the said Christ, probably, in the Bible. Many prophets of the past made efforts to see what you see, but did not find. Right. Many of prophets tried to hear the things what you hear, and they could not hear. These are the words of the Masters, you see, given in our scriptures. The pity is the right interpretation thereof, we do not have it. So what does the Master do? That very thing which was just submitted, Master puts the collegium of experience into your eyes, bringing your attention from all outside to raise you up to the eye level and open the inner eye, you see the light of God. Unless you come there, you cannot touch beyond. That's the gate from which you have to pass and go into the beyond. Again, you see, Guru Amar Das had this after 70 long years, effort such. Again, he says, there are 10 doors in the body. 9 are apparent. 1 is lit in the 10th door. Apparent doors are 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth and 2 underneath. This is contact with the sense world, so long as you are there. 10th door is at back of the eyes, where man who dies, leaves his body, reaches there at the back of the eye when the eyes are upturned, and that's the door, portal, gate of death, here to cross. That's the 10th law. There, when you rise, that inner eye is open and you see the light of God. You hear this? That's music of the sphere reverberating in all creation. So that is why, you see, Christ said, you must be reborn. I said, if you be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God starts from the eyes upward. And this is also, you see, we are in the prison house of the body. Mother room tells us we are in the prison house. How can we come above it? He says, just break the roof and go up. Unless your attention is withdrawn from outside and from the body below, and rivet into the 10th door, that is knocking the door which will be open to you, there you get cross into the beyond. He says, what you do, that so long as you do not close your 9 doors outside, your mind which is in the habit of roaming outside, you control it within you, and you come over to the 10th door completely, then you hear, first you see the light of God, then you hear the voice of God. So, what is the criterion? That sound of God, or what you call music of the spheres, Mohammedan called it Kalam-e Kadeem, and others say Jyoti Marag and Shurti, Shurti Marag, sound principle, light and sound principle, that cannot be had unless you reach there. When that is dwelt, you can see that light and sound within and also outside, because your eyes are etherealized. As I showed you one example of microscope, our eyes come so much as the air is. So we can see, unless whatever is in the air that is magnified comes up to the level of our eyes, we cannot see. So such a man, he sees him inside and outside both. So long as you have not contact with that word power, nam power, or kalma, which is the cause of all creation, when you close your eyes, it's all dark. When it is darkness, you can penetrate beyond and enter the kingdom of God, which is within you, and who can help you? Unless you see, become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, you see and you, ego is lost, until then you will come and go, come in, going will continue. When you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you see, he is the doer, I am not the doer. So your wheel of life is ended. Such a one, this, as I told you, this is just the ABC started by rising above body consciousness. The rest are plane, their causal plane, their super causal plane. All masters have expressed these things in their own language, therefore. And when you reach the shake of all coverings of the man body, so reach the tomb of the Father, such a soul is never returned. If at all that is sent back to guide the child humanity, it does not come as a prisoner but to guide the child humanity. Such masters do come now and then. What is not without them? Any disciple, you see, Christ has said, who has attained that improvement, you see, competency, that work is carried on, you see. Not ended. One bulb is fused, the other is put on. So there is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. So the key of all that, how to open the door, lies in the hands of a master. His little attention will withdraw your attention from all outside, raise you up to the level of the eyes and open the door. And all this can be had to sit at the feet of such a master whose more details should give you last night. But Guru Amar Das says, meeting such a master is a great blessing. It is a great blessing to have a living master. Past masters, we are thankful to them, because they have left their experience of the beyond in the scriptures. All masters, whatever they had experienced, they gave out, and they are in the form of scriptures with us today. We are most fortunate in this 20th century. The all masters who came in the past, whatever they said, whatever they experienced, they are with us. And by parallel study of them, you will find they say the same thing. God is light, light is within you. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkened. The symbols of which are kept in the outer models, which are before you, for training you for that purpose, you might say. There is light in the church, there is light in the temple, there is light in the mosque, and all the holy places, which is better and which is not better. They are all symbols of God. The such light is within you, which is the true temple of God. Just open your inner eye to see the light of God. And that key of opening the inner eye lies with the master. And who is that? That works, that wonder, that the world made flesh, God in him. That God resides in every heart, of course. But where it is manifest, where he has been chosen to give guidance to the child community, where he has been ordered to bring back children back to whom was your father, his little thought works. So as I submitted, no son of man can do it, of course. But the son of man, in whom he is manifest, he can work wonders. So all credit goes to God. So in the beginning, you see, it was said, he is within, latent also. When you see inside, he is also. When you open your eyes, even you see that light of God, the sound reverberating in all creation. So when this is what the scriptures say, and master say, we have seen, we have heard, and it gives us some capital to start with, of opening, seeing the light and seeing, hearing the word. So this is experience in hell when you sit at the feet of the master. Of course, for that, true life is a necessity, true living, ethical life. So remain where you are, you see. And how it is all this hand, by coming in contact with the Naam power or word power, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. By coming in contact with Naam power, you see the light comparing to hundreds and thousands of sunrises together. So come in contact with word or Naam means, do you see light of God? If not, you have not come in contact with the word. Take the example. There is water, that's a liquid. Liquid. The name of the water in all languages is given by different names. It is called water, it is called chal, nirab, water in different languages. The word denotes that liquid by drinking which your thirst is satisfied. Not only repeating the words which denote that liquid. You follow? God is light. God is reverberating everywhere. These are the words to explain that. But unless you come in contact with that, your desires, your everything is not appeased. So that is called water of life or the blood of life. So coming in contact with that thing, you'll find just cleanses of all our sins. There may be, what you say, many logs of wood put together, mounted, and you put little fire to it, all are consumed. Similar, we may have got limitless sins standing against us when you come in contact with that light and sound principle, which is the outward expression of God within us. By rising above body consciousness, all sins are washed away. This is Vasudeva. And that is, we see him not with these eyes. Without physical eyes, we see his light. Without physical ears, we hear his voice. Without these outer feet, you traverse into the beyond. Just to work without this physical body. So this ABC starts when you rise above body consciousness. So there are Naam and word. One is the word, W-O-R-D, and one, that power which is the cause of all creation. That two aspects of which is light and sound. The word Naam is the word, denotes that power which is gone into expression power by coming in contact with which you see light. You hear the voice of God. So he has got no name. Names are given by us. So call him by any name. Names are given to just denote what he is. But unless you see him, repeating sweet remembrance of him by different names is good. That's for good action. But unless you see that light, or who is liberating all creation, you say that power is working, not I, then there's a real benefit derived from that. All coming, going is ending. So all masters say that world, all creation came after the world, is it not? This also said, he is nameless, when he came into being, he is the cause of all creation, liberating all creation. The same thing you find parallel in all nature. What we are to do now? Read scriptures, that's the first thing. But there should be somebody to give the right interpretation of the statement given therein. I met a so-called saint, excuse me, with due deference to him. I went to him, well, what is inside? No light inside. Who says? It is all darkness. It is full of filth. Who says it is the true temple of God? Well, our master says, even in the You see, palace you got bathrooms, is it not? So body is the true temple of God. All this world came into being through word, through nam, through kalma, through the south, as the mountains say. So the spirituality is a head, I will say now, at the feet of a master who is prototype of spirituality, who is world made flesh. He rises above body culture at will, he makes the best use of all these outgoing faculties. Now we are driven by that because we have not become the master, we have not risen above body culture. So this is the teachings that the master do give us. That man's body is the true temple of God, and people who are just given up, identified with the body outside and outward sense, they say, how can that body be the temple of God?
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. This morning our reader is Leslie McIntosh. Are you there, Leslie?
Good morning, John.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Let's begin Master Satsang with his invocation. Supreme Lord of the universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord, and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. This morning's satsang is going to be from Master's book, The Night is a Jungle, continuing with Chapter 5. Guru, Gurudev, and Satguru. One whose mind is pure and intellect is at rest will surely reflect the light of God. We are to be worshipers of the light of life, no matter to which social religion we owe allegiance. Every religion speaks of this truth. Guru Gobind Singh tells us, in whom the light of God shines in its fullness, he alone is Khalsa, the pure in heart. Khalsa is my own form, and I reside in him. Khalsa is the true master, all-powerful. When such great souls come, their mission in life is to unite all mankind in one great family of God. One who views all beings from the soul level is really a great master, for God works through him. What does he give after all? He gives something which the senses cannot comprehend. We have to find out such a guru who can do this. This quest is one of supreme importance for all of us, irrespective of sex. The physical relationship between man and woman ends with the holy wedlock. Next comes the spiritual relationship, the wedlock of the soul, whether of male or female, with the oversoul. The scriptures tell us that Parvati, the consort of Shiva, accepted Narada as her guru. Sita, the consort of Rama, took Anasuya as her guru. These who consider that there is no necessity of a guru for for women are mistaken. Both men and women do need a guru for the emancipation of their souls from the meshes of mind and matter. The spirit of each of us cries for liberation, no matter in what bodily raiment it may be clothed. The institution of marriage only provides us with a life companion, a standby in weal or woe, in life's journey. This stage of a householder, grihastha ashram, is an important integral phase in one's life and must, therefore, be gone through happily. Marriage is no bar to spirituality. It rather helps in spiritual advancement when both are engaged in spiritual sadhana practice. Procreation is one aspect of married life. In the bygone days, the married people were contented with just one or two children, and thereafter they would renounce the world and retire into jungles for meditation and God realization. Christ has emphasized that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church. It is good to be married, but after begetting one or two children, the rest of the lifespan should be dedicated to the highest purpose of life, God realization. It is a pity that we regard marital life as a means of sense enjoyment. Some masters in the past were householders and had children. In ancient times, there were gradations in brahmacharya period of celibacy, the minimum being that of 25 years. These days, we can hardly find one person who observes complete chastity in thought, word, and deed for even 1 year. With this sad state of affairs, how can we aspire for a truly spiritual life? The one great lesson that we learn from the life of Hazur is that of his continence. He married before attaining the age of 25, but his wife died before consummation of marriage. He married a second time after he had attained the age of 25, which meant an observance of complete brahmacharya for all these years. His wife lived with him intermittently for brief spells which hardly totaled 6 months. Besides, he had in him all godly virtues. God is immortal, and so are our souls. He is all truth, all wisdom, and all bliss, and our self, too, is endowed with all these attributes. But the self in us, environed as it is by mind and matter, has forgotten its essential pristine nature and has so identified with the body and bodily adjuncts that we cannot see anything beyond this physical world. Whenever great souls come, they tell us of the right path and give us right understanding and a correct lead. Now, where lies the path homewards? There are so many yogic systems. Some aim at physical development. Others provide the means for prolonging the lifespan. There is bhakti yoga, which tells us how to develop love and devotion. So long as man remains in constant search for spiritual enlightenment, he does not descend to lower gradation of the creation. Ramakrishna, Paramhans, was the worshiper of God as a divine mother, and he saw her eminent in all creation. He thus remained in a state of duality and could not transcend into the beyond. When he went to Guru Todapuri, the latter gave him the secret of the eye focus, behind and between the eyes, and then hit him hard in the forehead with a piece of glass and directed him to meditate at that point. It was then that he was able to transcend body consciousness and pass from duality to oneness. Then there is the path of Gayan Yoga, of logical reasoning and inference, fit only for those gifted with strong intellectual powers. It cannot be practiced by everyone. How are the young, old, and imbecile people to benefit from it? The great sage Patanjali has defined yoga as yogish chittavritti nirodha, i.e., stilling the vibrations of mind. In reality, this too is but a preparatory stage that paves the way to God realization. The sage Yajnavalkya has defined yoga, yogish atma, param atma, sanyag, the union of soul with the oversoul. But there is something beyond this. It is self-realization or constant awareness of the self which comes as you rise above body consciousness. Gradually cast off physical, astral, and causal vestures and develop cosmic and supercosmic awareness. And last of all, you are a wave of the ocean of all consciousness. How can this be achieved? Guru Nanak says, with self-analysis, the miasma of delusion does not disappear. So long as you do not rise above body consciousness, you cannot even get an idea of the self within. You have to uncover your self from the various enshrouding sheaths of physical, astral, and causal, all of which are illusory. Even the great Shankara hinted at something far above and beyond when he said, O Lord, I know that there is no difference whatsoever between you and me. I am yours, yet you are not mine, for the river has its waves, but the waves do not have the river. On the one hand, there is self-awareness, and on the other is cosmic awareness, and yet transcending them is the state of super-cosmic consciousness. Saints have always referred to this state of super-cosmic consciousness. All great masters have done the same and are known for their Catholicity. Hazur used to tell us that he was for all and accepted all, and that it was the foremost duty of a real master to unite all the children of God. All human beings, all religions, all nations, and all countries are his, in spite of seeming differences due to geographical and climatic conditions, because they live on the same earth and under the same blue canopy and are charged with the same life impulse. Saints give to all alike the same inner contact with the overflowing ocean of divine intoxication lying hidden in every soul and long since forgotten because of the heavy pressure of the workaday life. The Master helps us to gain access to the divine nectar by raising us a little above body consciousness. A great master has his soul currents well under his control, while ours are flowing out through the sense organs. The sun's rays do not ordinarily burn, but when made to pass through a convex lens, these are collected and burn anything on the other side of the lens. It is our attention that gives life to mind and intellect. Instead of flowing outward through the senses, It could be collected at the center of the soul. You could well understand its potential. It is a subject of actual experience and not of theory only. The living master, then, is a great ocean of divine bliss and harmony. A God-man is ever in a state of divine intoxication. Those who really become men of God, they need no outer aids to get lost to themselves. This is why Mira Bai exclaimed that she remained in a state of constant intoxication without any wine. Christ tells us, it is not by bread alone that man lives. Guru Ram Dass tells us, the mind remains fully engrossed in the music of the soul. The living master is just like a blooming tree laden with fragrant flowers and luscious fruits. Blessed indeed is one who happens to meet such a master. Please remember that the eyes are the windows of the soul. The power that a saint has within is imparted through the eyes. His soul is charged with divinity. This realization one can have from him. Every master has had his own bola, a chosen form of remembering God, and whatever the bola, it is charged with all the magnetic force of the saint. Guru Nanak very often used to explain Sat Katar, meaning that the Creator was all-pervasive. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went about saying, Hari Bol, take ye the name of the Lord. Once he happened to pass by a pond where washermen were busy washing clothes. He asked one of them to say, Hari Bol, but the latter did not pay any heed, taking him to be a beggar. But when Chaitanya once again emphatically asked the washerman, the latter could not resist but repeated the words, Hari Bol, and began to dance in ecstasy with the refrain of the words. Very soon, other washermen nearby caught the rhythm of the charged words, and the whole place began to ring with the merry chant, Hari Bol, in rhythmic union. You see, my point is that the words of a master soul, no matter what they may be, are highly charged on account of his personal contact with the Godhead within him, and as such cannot but profoundly affect the hearers and help them in spiritual advancement. The eyes are the windows of the soul, and a single love-laden glance from his God-intoxicated eyes is enough to raise the spirit to heights immeasurable. Shamsi Tabriz says and prays, O Master Divine, give me just one draught from the holy vintage which may bring peace to my lacerated heart. O Master, give me that elixir of life which is not available even in paradise. By Nand Lal says, a single tumbler from the water of life is more exhilarating than 2,000 barrels of wine. And from Guru Gobind Singh we learn, it is not a subject of discussion on the intellectual level, but one of seeing yourself. Bhikkhu declares, he who knows does not speak out, as it is not given to mortal imagination. It is a subject of seeing only. Those who speak out that they know, they really do not know. Maulana Rumi tells us, if I were to tell something of this state, then all the infidels of the world would instantly turn into godmen. After all, what do the masters give? It is something supremely divine and defies description. The great Maulana Rumi then goes on to say, if after my death manure were made of my body, and if that manure were scattered in a field of wheat, the cook and bearer of chapatis made therefrom will dance in ecstasy, and even the very oven will start emitting the flames of love. The Maulana has said this much without telling us what will be the state of one who partakes of the food thus prepared, food that is ineffable. The path of the masters is a straight one, involving no physical yogic practices. He gives a direct contact with the strands of life within. This consists of linking the soul currents with the power of God in which we actually live, move about, and have our very being. It is a matter of direct inner perception, quite apart from all kinds of reasoning, feeling, emotion, and inferential knowledge, which are all fallible. Actual seeing is believing, leaving no place for skepticism. Guru Ram Dass came to this rich heritage at a fairly advanced age of 70, and when he experienced God, he said, if one is fortunate enough, one may get in touch with a master of truth, a Sadguru, and get from him communion with the Holy Word or contact with the inner sound principle, the light of life. While philosophical treatises deal with theoretical aspects of religions, mysticism brings you face to face with the divine power of God. Even small children can be attuned with the light of God. Nothing is taken for granted, and no make-believe is required. It is simply a direct and conscious contact with the God into expression power within, the primal manifestation of light and sound principles. Hazur was an adept in both the theory and practice of Surya Chopped Yoga. In this modern age, this science started from Kabir and the Sikh gurus, and in turn came to Tulsi Sahib of Hathras, and on to Swami Ji, Baba Jamal Singh Ji, Hazur Sawan Singh Ji, and the same power is now working through the living master. It is Hazur's divine grace that everybody, without exception, is being blessed with inner experience of light and sound. It is indeed a priceless gift. Guru Nanak, speaking of it, said, Nanak remains all the time in a state of continuous ecstasy. I was talking to you of meditation, and the natural question you would like to ask is, what should one meditate upon? One cannot meditate upon something one has not seen. In other words, how can we meditate on the abstract and absolute God? Contemplation is a dangerous thing. If you are lucky enough to get in touch with a perfect master, then it may be well. But if perchance, and God forbid, your teacher is not competent to fulfill his promise, and you contemplate on his form, you will be lost in the wilderness. During the early days of my discipleship, I once questioned Hazur as to what one should fix one's attention on after the withdrawal of one's sensory currents. He smilingly replied, We, all the time, usually think of our children, friends, and other worldly possessions. So where then is the harm to contemplate for some time on the form of a sadh master? In the Gurbani, it states, God himself comes in the form of a sadh. After some time, when I once again questioned Hazur about dhyan, meditation, he lucidly explained, when the master initiates a person, he, in his radiant form, becomes a constant companion of the disciple. You may, while sitting for contemplation, think of his form or may not, but when you will progress within, you are sure to meet him there. The guru, after all, is not a human being as one may generally take him to be, but something much more than that, for in him works the power of God and in its plenitude for the benefit of humanity. He does not leave nor forsake his chosen souls till they are safely led to the true home of his Father. Fortunate are they who had the privilege of getting Holy Communion or inner contact from Hazur Maharaj Ji. The contemplation of his holy form is all that is needed. But herein comes another great obstacle. We can easily contemplate on any human form like our own, but it is not possible to visualize the form of a highly advanced soul like the Master's, which is one with the Divine. We may try to visualize his form within by thinking of his milk-white flowing beard, his radiant face, his turban, his tall stature, his regal gait, or anything else associated with him, but it will be our make-believe and not the real form, and hence of not much benefit. It is because of this that I do not advise anybody to contemplate on any form, even of the Master, but to look straight ahead into the eye focus and therein see intently whatever comes into view, light or darkness, and mentally repeat the charged names very, very slowly, maybe at intervals, so that the inner gaze is not disturbed. As the loving gaze will grow steadily in intensity, the divine form of the Master, the radiant pole at which God is working, will appear of itself within and begin to stay, at first momentarily, and then for a longer time with the development of inner perception. On initiation here in India, it generally happens that some 25% to 30% of the initiates do see within them the radiant form of the Master and of Hazur Maharaj, even those who had never met him at all. The appearance within of the Master may therefore be left up to him. It is his job. He is God in man and knows best the level from where and how to work. He may come alone or along with his Master or any other benign soul, for they are all children of the light of God. Guru Arjan says, the Guru Dev, the radiant form of the Master, has opened my eyes, the inner eye, to see his light. I have now no delusions, and all my strivings have come to an end. With the coming in of the radiant form of the Master, half the bhakti devotion is accomplished. We must therefore unceasingly pray to God to bring us to the divine pole, or the life switchboard which His power is fully manifested. The immutable law of demand and supply works equally at all levels. There is always food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. There are instances of lovingly devoted souls who got inner experience of the Master's form much before they actually came in contact with Him on the physical plane. In Pakistan, there are still many persons who used to see the radiant form of Huzoor, though they had never met Him before. In my case, Huzoor's lustrous form often visited me inside, 7 years before I actually met Him and got my initiation. I was telling you that our prayers must spring from the bottom of our hearts. Frankly speaking, I did not favor the idea of having a guru, though I knew that without a competent guru, one could not make headway in spirituality. I was, however, afraid of the fake gurus in which the world abounds. But how was I to find a true master when there was a swarm of them, and each held out high hopes and was ready to bless you for a pittance? So I used to pray earnestly, O God, grant me inner guidance in my quest. My humble prayer was granted, and Huzoor began revealing Himself to me and continued to do so for 7 years before I was formally initiated. I did not know then who He was, and always took Him for Guru Nanak. I also composed some verses in praise of Him. I was extremely fond of rivers. Wherever I happened to be, I would look for a stream nearby and find a solitary spot for my meditations. When I went to Lahore, I had the river Ravi, and so it was at Jhelum. For hours together, I would sit by the riverside absorbed in thought. While at Lahore, it struck me to see Bees River. It was this lure of the flowing water that led me to Bees. It was a fine Sunday morning that I took a train to Bees. I inquired from the station master at Bees the location of the river. Surprisingly enough, he asked me if I had come to visit the sage of Bees. I exclaimed as to whether there was any living sage there. He then told me of Huzoor. Thus the visit to Bees was amply rewarded. It gave me an opportunity to see both the river Bees and to meet my master-to-be. On reaching Dera Colony, my surprise knew no bounds when I discovered in Huzoor the likeness of the radiant form that had visited me in my meditations all these years. I imploringly inquired as to why he had delayed our meeting for such a long time. He, with a benign smile, replied that was the most opportune time for the meeting. A competent master reveals himself even before initiation. There is hardly any need to conjure up any images while engaged in spiritual practices. The master plants his own image at the time of initiation, and his radiant form comes in of its own when we completely get into the eye focus. The secret of success lies in entering into the eye focus completely and entirely, and the real master's form does come regardless of any invitation. This is a comparatively easier and the most natural way of God realization. Guru Bhakti is the surest way back to home, to God, but the path is quite slippery as well. When the end of Maulana Rumi approached near, he said, Little dost thou know of the great king within me. See thou the radiance in his house of flesh and bones. When a disciple rises to this level and becomes a guru man, he becomes truly blessed. I have told you just two things that the guru does. First, he teaches all that the children of God should sit together, for this is the only way out of the entire human race to escape from the trials and tribulations of the world. Secondly, he gives us such a divine wealth as cannot be had from anywhere else. It is therefore of supreme importance that, while looking at the physical form of the Master, one should be conscious as well of the spiritual radiation emanating from that form. Maulana Rumi says, O Shamsi Tabriz, if I see anybody other than God in the mirror of your face, I would be worse than an infidel. To meet a real master is to get closer to God, whereas to be away from him is to be away from God. Whenever the masters come into the world, they do so to serve us with the nectar of life. It is said, the scriptures are useful to the gurus for teaching the masses. Without a living master, we cannot even get the right import of the sacred books. In God, it is God alone who can lead us into him. The master is the true lover of God and is competent to narrate the story of his beloved. And on that note, we'll end today's satsang with Master's words. Each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. And thank you, Master, for this wonderful satsang.
Thank you, Leslie, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today there were 66 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.